This letter of John is, you see, John's writings dominate, if that's the right word, Christmas time, and also Paschal time. That's why in the cycle of readings, year one, year two, year three, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke. No place for John, except he does all of Lent and all of Advent, or not all of Easter time, Christmas time. So today, I'm writing to you children. Who are these children and these fathers and these young men? They could be in chronological age, or it could be spiritual age. Because your sins, I'm writing to you children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. That's why we're children, or can be, innocent, you see. I'm writing to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. No one can be a spiritual father unless they know him. Know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one, some of you by martyrdom. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. And then, remember, we're just in the second chapter of this letter. Do not love the world or the things of the world. Does that mean the people? Of course not. He defines for us what he means by the cosmos. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Terrible indictment, isn't it? For all that is in the world, and this translation has sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life. But if you remember, this is where you have this, the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. New translation. But that's the world. You don't believe it? Turn on the television. This senseless look and search for power, for pleasure, for self-gratification. That's why he says, you see, all that is in the world. He doesn't mean the people. He means this way that sin can grip the world, and does. We just had this big sort of flap over the, what's the name of that, the hillbillies, you know, who got thrown off, one got thrown off the air by talking about, what's the name of that group? Anyway, I never heard of them until that. I don't watch TV very much. But do you see, that is a turning point in a way. Most of the time, Christians think, oh, we're outnumbered, we're outpowered, they're going to remove that man, there's nothing we can do. This time, they said, you take him off, we won't buy your product. Then he's back on. We should remember that. We should remember that. And to stand up, because not just because we believe it and it's got to be true and you've got to know. What happens when people don't know the Lord? The pride of life, you know, which is big house, big car, all that stuff, you see. Concupiscence of the flesh and concupiscence of the eye. Look, look, see. Get power. We have to fight against this every day, right? It's in the world, but part of the world is in us. And we have to get rid of it. And what we do is let the Holy Spirit move it out. But we have to let it go. And that's the challenge, right? Because everyone who believes is responsible for leading the world out of its morass. Everybody. You walk down the streets of a city and you see this. First place, the billboards and the, they're just these three things, right? Concupiscence of the flesh, concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. I remember there was an ad once in the New York Times. Be courageous, or some word like that. Wear a blue suit to work. I thought, that's courageous. I mean, is that the height of courage? Be courageous, live an upright life, and care for the poor. That's courageous. Everybody will say you're nuts. Got to look out for number one. Of course, since we're all number one, it's going to be difficult. But you see, this is telling us, this is the challenge. You see, this is the challenge. And whoever does the will of God remains forever, literally forever. That means that if we continue to try to serve the Lord, we can calmly say of ourselves, I am eternal. There's never a moment in my whole existence unless I turn from God when I will not be joined to God, living by divine life now and in a better way hereafter. And that's why St. Leo tells us, recognize, O Christian, your dignity, but share it. Then we have this lovely story of Anna, 84 years old. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And so she spotted this young boy, this baby, and she gave thanks to God and spoke about this child. See, if we do pray, then our intellect is enlightened. And if Jesus walked in, you'd say, that's Jesus. You know that. If we're kind of filled up with comfort and pride and, you know, sensuality, Jesus could walk in and we'd never recognize him. But Anna did. And then the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And they want to put the favor of God. It's the charis tou theou, the grace. But it means more than just what we mean theologically by grace. It's the charis, it's the benevolence, it's the Father. See, and this rested on this young child because he's God. So, that's the teaching. And then tomorrow, which is New Year's Eve, what does that mean? It's a chance to get drunk. I mean, what do you say we try not to do that tomorrow, okay? And but do you see why, if we are trying to be faithful to the Lord, our hearts are going to be moved with compassion? Oh. You know, I mean, just walk down any city, but walk down Washington especially. The corruption oozes out of the buildings. It's money and pleasure, just the things that John told us today, right? All that is in the world is the drive of the flesh, the drive of the eyes, and the pride of life. Big car, nice clothes. See, be bold, wear a blue suit. I mean, and we know better by the pure mercy of God. So let's not forget them.